This is Law and Gospel on this Ruminations Thursday, September the 3rd in the year of our Lord 2015. And being a Ruminations, what does that mean? Well, it's kind of like a cow chewing its cud. And we take a look and chew on theological subjects. I always like to have a pastor with me on Rumination Thursday. I was trying to get a good pastor, but unfortunately only Wes Reimnes is available.
Oh.
Hi, Wes.
Oh, hello. I have quite an introduction.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being complimented. It shows what a great personality you have that you don't take offense at that. But click. Oh, I guess we just lost Wes. I wonder what happened.
I've been called many things over the years, so it doesn't bother me.
I know. If you really weren't a good pastor, I never would have said what I said. Well, you found a very interesting subject, and we are opening up our phone lines at 821-0850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Yesterday, I talked about that transgendered male student who's pretending to be a female and wanting to go into the women's locker rooms. And this is in Hillsboro, near St. Louis. But today we have something else to talk about, namely a county clerk by the name of Kim Davis. Can you bring us up to date?
Yes, of course, she's going to court this morning, and she's been summoned to a federal court, not a state, a federal court, and asked
for what reason?
Why she's not issuing marriage license, especially to gay couples, lesbian or homosexuals.
Hmm.
And she's saying on the basis of her religious faith, that she feels compelled not to issue those licenses and is asking for a way that she can fulfill her obligation without having to sign those licenses.
You know, what I found really interesting in what you sent me is that half the article is about her being divorced three times, having children out of wedlock. I mean, they attack her personality. And all of this had occurred before she became a Christian, and they're referring to her as a hypocrite. That would be like saying, boy, we sure don't listen to the Apostle Paul because, you know, he was a murderer of Christians. He was definitely persecuting them, and therefore he's a hypocrite.
Yeah, yes, you are correct on that. What you weren't able to catch was this morning I had sent you some emails, and I know you were busy. But overnight, there's the press is some of the press, not all, but some of the press has backed away from that, and they've come out and said, stated her position, and she has said, "I'm not perfect, no one is, but I'm forgiven, and I love my Lord and must be obedient to His word." So she didn't go into all the details, but then they brought up the marriages, but. She certainly admits that she's done wrong in her past.
Yes. This is really interesting. And we Christians better get ready for this because these homosexuals are after blood. And we ought not be surprised because they are, of course, in the camp of Satan to have even a homosexual marriage. And therefore, they just hate Christians who say that homosexuality is an abomination before Almighty God, even though we have the Bible verses. What I found really interesting is that she's not the only county clerk from whom they could get a marriage license. There are others, but they refuse to go to the others to get there because they want her to sign the document. And so it shows once more the persecution aspect of homosexual thinking.
That I had not heard that they could have gone elsewhere in the county. Generally, it's one county clerk, and it's their signature that affixes to the license.
Yes. The fact of the matter is there's a lot more here to talk about, particularly why don't they just fire her? Well, the reason they can't fire her is because she was elected.
Right. That was something else that I ran across, that under Kentucky's constitution, elected officials can only be removed by impeachment. And that takes the vote of the state legislature. So it would have to go to the legislature.
Well, we'll see what happens here. It's quite possible that that might occur. But what's your thinking? And I've got maybe a little different view, but what's your thinking about what she is doing? Is that correct or not?
I can certainly understand her position as a Christian, and I would be inclined to, at some point, to agree with her on that marriage. But the problem is, it's a license. And who's going to decide whether you should have a license? For instance, lawyers have to renew their license. Well, I disagree with the position on a lawyer and how he's interpreting the law and carrying out his case. Would I deny him a renewal of his license? Same way with a doctor. You know, there's a whole issue of licensing that goes on here.
Oh, that's a really good point, Wes. And that's a point I wanted to make also, but I'm really glad you said this, that Christians are often put in a position where, let's use your example, they have to give a license to a doctor who performs abortions.
Right. So are you going to say that now they can't do that?
No, yeah, that's a really good point. In other words, the distinction you're making, it's one thing to give a license for a doctor to practice. It's quite another thing to participate in the abortion. And that's not what a county clerk is going to do when they give a license to a doctor or whoever gets that license.
Exactly. And it isn't as if I haven't talked to county clerks in the past about this, you know, and they have made that distinction as well, is they are Christians and they understand that issuing a license out there is not necessarily participating in that sin.
Yes, yes. I'll tell you what I came up with. You can be a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod member and you are a judge in court, and two people come forward and they want a divorce, but the divorce is not proper according to the Bible. We call it a no-fault divorce. That judge still will be allowing them on the basis of the law to have that no-fault divorce, even though he believes that that would be an improper divorce from God's point of view.
Right, and it's not a participation in their sin. It's no matter what you say to them, what they're going to do, they're going to go out there and commit that act.
You really made a good point. Anybody can call us on this subject at 821-0850. That's in St. Louis. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Now, I want to make a distinction or follow up this distinction. It's one thing to give out a license. It's another thing to participate in the actual marriage. For example, remember that baker who was fined over $100,000 because originally it said he wouldn't sell a cake to a gay couple who were getting married. That's not accurate. I've looked into this. That baker was willing to sell any wedding cake that was on his shelf, but they wanted him to use his specific talents because he's very good at doing wedding cakes, and they wanted a special wedding cake, I'm sure, with the people of the same gender on it. And then they wanted him to come to the wedding to cut it, like often the baker will do that. And therefore, that's what he refused to do, is to participate in the wedding ceremony or the wedding item after the ceremony, because that was against his Christian understanding.
I think that's a great point to bring out. To force somebody into participating when they choose not to. They were willing to make the sale, but not willing to go and celebrate. And I think you brought that out before in Christians when they have a loved one, whether it's a brother, a sister, a child, you know, that sometimes we need to forego or should forego going to their wedding if it's a lesbian wedding or a homosexual wedding.
Yes, that's why no proper pastor in the Christian church will ever officiate at a gay marriage, because that is an abomination before Almighty God. And here's the thing, what I don't understand. Now, this went to the Supreme Court, by the way, but she didn't lose in the Supreme Court. What happened is they just refused to hear the case. They refused to intervene, and therefore there's still a possibility that they might in the future.
Right. When I heard that, it kind of reminds me that they said you can't deny a civil right of obtaining a license to marry. But I got to looking, you won't find any federal law that says what is a marriage and who it's between and what's male and female and things of that nature. There is no law, I think. I believe that's on the books.
Yes, I think you're correct on that. So what we're looking at is a situation. Now, here's what I want to bring up. I don't know why they don't do for these people what they did when Roe v. Wade was adopted. Remember in 1973, they made abortion illegal, another abomination before Almighty God. However, my wife was a registered nurse. I knew doctors I've had in my congregation. One even worked at a hospital where they did abortions, but he refused to participate in it. But there is a law, and there's a technical name for it, and you cannot lose your job as a doctor, a nurse, or a medical practitioner if you refuse to participate in the abortion of a baby in the womb. And they don't lose their job. And I don't understand why the Supreme Court won't allow that to happen in this case. For example, she's not the only clerk in the state that can give a license. You can go anywhere, and they said there were many of them who would give licenses, but they're forcing her to sign it because that's just the way Satan works in a homosexual heart.
Right. And I understand that whole principle, what you're talking about, and I agree. But we're back to who issues the license, and for whatever, and this is on his religious grounds. Now it's a Muslim who is serving as county clerk, and they decide that Christians shouldn't have marriage license based on their religious values.
Yeah. Yeah. This is more complicated. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Tom, who's from Austin, Texas. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for a great program. I just had a thought because you had led into the piece with the baker. I believe that was in Washington State.
Indiana, the baker.
The baker was in Indiana. Okay.
Yes, sir.
There have been a number of cases like that. And I was just wondering, what if these businesses were to advertise that a portion of all the proceeds taken in from their business will be directed to the church of their choice, be it Catholic, Lutheran, what have you, that would tend to dissuade people from wanting to bring their business there that objected to the Christian faith.
Yes, you know, Tom, you're thinking like I am, that we don't go on the offense enough. Yesterday, here's the example I gave. You have this so-called transgendered male student who wants to pretend he's a woman. I said, if the school is going to allow him into the women's washroom and where they shower and this kind of thing, the next day, all the males of the school should wear a dress and pretend that they're transgendered and see what the school's going to do about that.
Right. We need to, you know, be more proactive.
Yes, I really agree with you on that. And there's a lot of things. That kind of thinking that you have is exactly the kind of thinking that I think is important. And I really appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
And we're just going to move on down the line. Let's talk to Herman. Herman, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. On that wedding cake issue, a number of these legal issues have been deliberately targeted by the homosexual activists deliberately but it would seem to indicate that if the baker was going to sell them any cake he had, more or less it would put him in the same situation if a man and woman came in about their marriage, and he would tell them the same thing: I only make a certain type of cakes, I don't do special orders. That's a standard business procedure, and hence you're trying to have the homosexuals force them to go into a line of practice that they don't want to. They don't go outside the shop to cater and cut the cakes. The people have to have their own attendants at the wedding do that type of thing.
Yes.
And you mentioned the high school and the transsexual.
Transgender, identity. Yes.
Transgender. How do you internally judge what degree of so-called sincerity this person has about that, other than just what they say? And if he was given the opportunity to use a unisex restroom, why is he insistent on really making young ladies sort of like enablers of his fixation, so to speak?
Yeah, he said that he refused to use the unisex, that was offered to him, because he wants to be regarded as a real female. And they don't use the unisex faculty bathrooms, so they use the regular ones. And so, once more, you see what the temptations of Satan is doing in his mind. And we just cannot tolerate this. In California, by the way, all they do is take the word of the student as to whether or not they feel they're transgendered or not. I don't think there's any criteria I've heard. Have you, Wes, heard anything about how they decide whether someone's telling the truth or not?
No. Yeah, how would you?
Yes.
You know,
well,
I agree.
Somebody could go in there with a concealed smartphone camera and take indecent pictures and everything else.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, do you want your daughter, you know, taking a shower after volleyball, and here comes this guy, and he takes the shower beside her because he thinks he's a female? This is a, you know, John Hopkins, and we've talked about this before, used to do transgender surgery. They have now stopped doing it because they've discovered what the Bible says is this is a psychological illness. These people need help. It's just like Christians who can't stop from drinking. They're alcoholics or have a fixation on pornography. That is a psychological problem, and we're not going to tolerate that in the Christian church, and the government shouldn't tolerate it, because it's really going against the civil rights, in this case, of women in the locker room. And this is harassment on the part of transgendered people. And why the government doesn't recognize that is beyond me.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Baker.
Thank you so much for calling. Any comments, Wes?
I liked your first discussion with a fellow from Austin about donating, you know, a portion of your proceeds to, well, he said, to a Christian church. I would go a step further. Abortion. Gay, anti-gay, you know, movement,
There's a group, I just heard about it, and I'm meeting with Senate officials today, I'm going to ask them, that actually ministers to homosexuals, trying to help them out of their problem. And if that's true, that's who you ought to be saying that money that you give will be donated to that group.
Excellent choice.
That's a real proactive thing. You know what I would have done? And I don't understand why nobody's done this in Indiana. I would find a Muslim bakery, and I would go in there and order 5 cakes, and what I want on each one is Allah is an idol.
Mm.
Now, you know, no Muslim baker is going to do that, and therefore I make $100,000.
Yeah.
But no. I agree that the Muslim baker shouldn't do it. It goes against his conscience. He has the right and the freedom to deny doing something that would be contrary to the way he thinks. And I don't have any problem with that. It just ought to be done for Christians also. But why hasn't anybody done such a simple thing and just go into a bakery and ask the baker to do something that is absolutely contrary to his conscience and see, you know, what's going to happen?
I would agree. But it's back to that license issue. I think as a license issue, she should issue out the license, because she's not participating.
Yeah, just like the judge, the Christian judge would allow a no-fault divorce, even though he may then go, let's say they're all members of the same congregation, then he should go back to the congregation and bring discipline against the couple if they had an unbiblical divorce or one of them did, and bring discipline against them, because there are laws. Imagine every time you go to a grocery store, you're standing in line. You know, Paul makes this point that we are not supposed to be in relationship to people who are unrepentant sinners. But the church misunderstood him and thought, therefore, they should not have anybody outside the church who were unrepentant sinners. And Paul says, no. You couldn't even go to the marketplace. Imagine I go to Schnucks or Dierbergs, and as I'm going through the line, I look at the cashier and I say, are you a homosexual? And he says, yes. I'm sorry, I'm not going through your line. I mean, you'd have to give up going to stores and everything if you had to stay away. But what Paul is talking about is you don't make them members of the Christian church in the sense of being able to take the Lord's Supper, because they are living in unrepentant sin. And that's quite a difference.
Right, and Paul also in Corinthians is talking about that we live in the love of Christ, and that compels us to move forward in our Christian life. And a better way is to reach out with the good news, or find ways in which, and I think what you're discussing with Senate officials about a gay proactive movement to deal with this problem is a solution to our problem. It's not a further problem down the road.
Yeah, something to kind of take a look at as a possibility. But we're going back to the phone lines, and let's go talk with Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good. How about you?
Pretty good. Let me see my turn. You were saying that the Supreme Court refused to hear that case or something?
Yeah, that's all they did.
Well, here's the thing. If it's appealed by the state to the U.S. Supreme Court, that sets an automatic legal precedent binding on all the other states, whatever the ruling of the lower court. Usually it's the state Supreme Court of that state. And say if it was in the Colorado State Supreme Court, and they appealed directly to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court turned it down, whatever the ruling was in the Colorado State Supreme Court, that's binding on all 50 states.
Okay, I sure appreciate that. I am not a lawyer, so whether or not that is correct or not, I just don't know, Mike. But do you know, Wes?
No, I don't. But I believe in this instance, it was her, not the state.
Yeah, that's for sure. It wasn't the state that appealed the process. She did through her lawyers. And I just hope that rule they have for doctors and nurses who don't lose their jobs because of abortion, there's no doubt. For example, there was a black judge, I can't remember what state he was in, but, you know, judges do marriages. He refused to do the marriage of a gay couple because of his religious beliefs. But he sent them over to a judge in that same building who did do gay marriages. And they got all upset and were trying to sue him too. So we're just dealing now with a culture where Satan has really taken over the brains of people. And by the way, that happens to every Christian. Well, we're not saying these people are more sinners than I am, more of a sinner than I am, because what do we confess? We're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing. But the difference between those who are truly members of the Christian church and those who aren't is repentance. You know, the Pope just came out with something, which, of course, all the newspapers had wrong. It's the year of Jubilee. And they were saying that the Pope is allowing priests now to forgive women who had abortion. What they left out was, well, first of all, from a technical point, normally only a bishop is able to forgive a sin of that nature, but now the priests are going to be able to do that. But what they left out is they forgive the women who had an abortion who are repentant. That's part of what the Pope said, and it was missing in a number of the articles I looked at. So there's not a blanket forgiveness for those who have had an abortion, but because many of them have realized that that was a sin to kill their baby, they are now really in conflict, and a priest now can forgive them if they are repentant. And I don't have any problem with that. Do you?
No, I would agree with you. I think, too, we need to make that distinction. When we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, we recognize those sins from the scriptures, what God calls sin, not what we call sin or try to say, well, God's not really calling it a sin as they do in the homosexual case.
Yes. Well, thanks so much, Wes, for being with us, and we'll look forward to next week. God bless, and right now I am going to be preaching at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Olivet, Missouri, 5 o'clock on Saturday and 8 and 10:30 on Sunday. I'm Tom Baker. Till Open Mic Friday tomorrow, looking forward to talk with you. God bless, and please listen to what follows.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.